Do I just give it a three? Is it three times a charm? Three times a charm? Wow, this is crazy. Crazy. I don't know, BP. What the heck? Just it was going so smoothly. Maybe they don't like Bananarama. Maybe I won't. I'll just move on. Move on from that. I have no idea, but I appreciate you guys coming back. What in the hell? Good grief. Yeah, we're going to move on from Bananarama. We're not going to play them anymore. I'm going to come over here. That's just weird. I have no idea. I'm just talking and all of a sudden it just says show ended, show ended. And I'm like, why did the show end? Why did the show end? I don't know. I don't know, Mike. I don't know what's going on. I guess they don't like Bananarama. I'm not going to start with them anymore. Anyway, hi, Radio Parlesque. I don't know, but I appreciate you coming back. Bam, bam. Thank you so much. That was three times now. Oh, does that count with all the shows that I have? That's so stupid now. Holy moly. Anyway, Bananarama is coming out with a new album. Let me see if I can do this. I'm afraid to go into any. I'm afraid to just touch anything. On this screen. Let's see if this one works. It was not Meghan Trainor, not Eminem. Him. He's, let me see if you guys are still there. Whew, everybody's back. All right. Eminem, Let the World Crumble in Cole Bennett's Doomsday 2 music video. So he's part of this new Doomsday Part 2. I don't know. I don't have any idea. Lyrical Lemonade, All is Yellow is what the song is called. Hopefully Podbean likes this better than Bananarama. There's a little bit of it.
All right, here we go. First, I'm a shredder. Burst like I had a personal vendetta. Words come together like birds of a feather.
He's talking about somebody.
Little twist put together, but I'm not trying to be controversial. I'd rather talk about shit with the purpose that matters. Like who had the
and this was put out on his 51st birthday.
Now yes. I got a riddle. One condition, you mustn't laugh. Okay. What is the opposite of Benzino? A giraffe. Going what? With neck, how the fuck is that? How can I go with something he doesn't have? Arms so short he can't even touch his hands. When they're up off his head doing jumping jacks. Wow. Sorry, I don't mean to upset you, Ben. When I talk about what
all right, that's an Eminem. The other person I had, oh, I was like, something just moved. I hope it didn't leave. No, you're still there. Whew. Okay. Jelly Roll. Everybody, I think, knows who Jelly Roll is now. He says in an interview that he regrets almost all of his tattoos, especially the one with the baby smoking a bunt in particular. Maybe that wasn't a good idea, he said. So, he's talking about all the tattoos he has on his body and that he doesn't think, you know, it was a good idea. 98% of them. This is a good song.
But the pain on my face, I won't show. A prisoner inside of my mind, I can't get out of here. I don't know why I ignore signs when it's so loud and clear.
All right, that is a little bit of Jelly Roll's Bottle and Mary Jane. The last one I'll do, and then I'll get into the music, is Willie Nelson. He has a new album coming out. It's called The Border, and this is one of the songs on it, just released. Called The Border.
I work on the border. I see what I see. I work on the border, and it's working on me.
It's about a Texas Border Patrol.
tell it what I know.
No, I'm not logged in anywhere else, Mike. I know, that's weird.
There's a price on the head of every border patrol. Where the smugglers do business, that's where I make a stand. I know this old desert like the back of my hand. I see greed in the bushes, I see snakes in the dark.
You can hear it in his voice how old he is now. I think he's 91. Always liked Willie Nelson. All right.
I come home to Maria at the end of the day.
Comes home to Maria. All right, so we're going to move on. We're going to start with the documentary Lemming and the artists that were in it that we watched last night. 91, thank you, BP. So about the film, Lemmy, and this is what I was talking about. I think this is where I got it from, Bam Bam. It says, Lemmy, don't be offended, you guys. Cover your angel ears. Lemmy, 49%, motherfucker, 51%, son of a bitch, is a 2010 documentary film profile of the English musician Ian Lemmy Kilmeister, I think that's how you say his last name, the founder, bassist, and lead vocalist of the heavy metal band Motorhead. Lemmy was directed and produced by Greg Oliver and Wes Orshorsky, something like that. Features interviews with friends and peers and admirers such as Slash, Duff McGann, Ozzy Osbourne, James Hetfield, Lars Ulrich, Robert Tulin, Kirk Hamilton, Nikki Sixx, excuse me, David Elphison, Scott Ian, Dave Vian, Captain Sensible, Peter Hook, Mark Ramon, and Nick Turner, and Dave Brook of Lemmy's former band, Hawkwind. Excuse me. The filmmakers were able to capture many canon moments with colleagues such as Dave Grohl and Billy Bob Thornton, conversing with Lemmy in bars and recording studios. Yeah, it was really cool to watch them just chat about their lives together. Well, together, separate lives, but together, you know, chatty. Okay, the film reveals that Lemmy spent much of his earlier life either on tour with Motorhead or hanging out at the Rainbow Bar and Grill in Los Angeles with well-known musicians such as Sixx, joking that they bump into Lemmy every single time they were at the Rainbow. Lemmy is shown living alone in a small rent-controlled apartment, which he refuses to give up due to its cheap rent relative to other places in Los Angeles and his close proximity to the Rainbow. He reveals that he has never married and is very close to his son, Paul, a guitarist who occasionally joins him on stage. The film also notes Lemmy's extensive World War II memorabilia collection and his hobby of playing gambling machines. So yeah, that is what the movie was about. I'm 100% unfuckable. Yep, for sure. So we're going to start with the first song that I have. And thank you so much, Bam Bam, for putting this list together for me. I really, really appreciate it. It is Ace of Spades, Motorhead. A little bit about the song. This is Motorhead's most famous song. It is about gambling and risk. And they were saying that that was the other thing that he loved to do was play the one, what did they call it? The one-handed bandit? I think that's what one guy was, they were interviewing, called it, the slot machines, because he would sit and be like by two of them and be playing two of them at the same time. Lemmy recalled writing the song in an interview with Mojo Magazine in February of 2011. Ace of Spades is unbeatable, apparently, but I've never known it was such a good song. Writing it was just a word exercise on gambling, all the cliches. I'm glad we got famous for that rather than some turkey, but I sang the Eight of Spades for 2 years and nobody noticed, he said. That was what he was, I can't remember who in the documentary was pissed off at him because he said he told this person that he didn't like their song or their album. I think it was just a song. It might've been the whole album, but he said that he didn't like it. And this person was just like, well, who is he? And he's a jerk and blah, blah, blah. He used other language. But then they finally met after Dave Grohl was saying, no, you would really like him. You'd really like him. And then they finally met and then they really liked each other. So yeah, Ace of Spades, Motorhead, here it is. One arm bandit. Thank you, Bam Bam. Now I can totally hear his voice in this song. I want to rock Al all night. Oh my gosh, that singer from the darkness. Oh no. Oh, that's who it was? Oh. That's even funnier now. That's funny. I want to rock out all night long. Woo! After playing this for years, let me admit it, he was sick of this song. That's probably why he was saying the words, you know. That's probably why he was saying Eight of Spades to see if anybody would listen. But said he kept doing it because of the set list. If I went to a Little Richard concert, I'd expect him to play Long Tall Sally, he said. Ace of Spades, Motorhead, off the album Ace of Spades, 1980. And, you know, if I even got into any of his music, I think that I would like the Hawkwind stuff a little bit more. I think I'd be more into that sound of the music. This is just a little too hard for me to listen to the whole album of his, but it's good. All right, we're going to move on. The next one is Johnny Kidd and the Pirates, and the song is Shaking All Over, and it was in the movie. So that's why we're playing it. So let me tell you about the song. Written by Johnny Kidd, this rocker is about the feeling you get near a good-looking girl. It was a huge hit in England, but didn't make a dent anywhere else until Chad Allen and the Expressions recorded it in 1965. When their version was released, their label wanted to create some intrigue for the Canadian group, maybe pass them off as a British invasion band. So the single was credited to Guess Who, which is what is said on the label. Disc jockeys thought the group was actually named The Guess Who, and that's the name that stuck. Their version went to number one in Canada and number 22 in the US. But we are going to play Johnny Kidd and the Pirates' Shaking All Over version. Here it is.
When you move in right up close to me.
And if I remember, I mean, this is kind of like when he's walking around all the downtown Los Angeles. He was just hanging out with normal people.
Quivers down the backbone. I got the shakes down the knee bone. You have the tremors in the thigh bone.
He didn't think he was better than other people. He didn't think, I'm a famous rock star. You know, I can't be around the normal people. He was just went into the record stores and hung out with people. Well, he didn't hang out, but you know what I mean? He was shopping just around other people. He didn't care. He didn't have Tower Records close the store or open the store early an hour for him like Elton John did. He went right in with the normal people in shop. That was kind of cool. All right. Johnny Kidd and the Pirates, Shaking All Over.
Shaking all over.
On the album cover of this Johnny Kidd, he's wearing a patch. I wonder if he really has an eye issue or if it was just because, you know what I mean? A costume thing. All right, we're going to move on to the next song on the list, and it's Kickstart My Heart. Motley Crue, I'm Nikki Six. A little bit about the song. The hard-charging rocker has surprising inspiration. It is about a near death of Motley Crue's bass player, Nikki Six. On December 23rd, 1987, he literally died after overdosing on heroin. When the paramedics arrived, they shot him up with adrenaline as a last-ditch effort to save him. So the adrenaline kick-started his heart. The song deals with the band's newfound sobriety during the songwriting process and on stage. The rush that they used to get from the drugs they were now getting in other, more natural ways. We're going to listen to a little bit, and then there's a little bit more to that story. So here is Kickstart My Heart. And it was, while we're playing this, is that Nikki Six was in there. They were interviewing him about Lemmy and his friendship with him. So that's why this song is in there. Kickstart My Heart, Motley Crue. All right, so Steve Adler, who is the drummer, our former drummer of Guns N' Roses, he disputes Nikki Six's version of the event, saying he wrote it about the paramedics who took that syringe and did a Pulp Fiction thing to him, but that didn't, but they didn't do that, he said. I dragged him out of the shower with a broken hand in a cast on my hand. I rolled him in. I put the cold water on him in the shower and I started slapping him in the face with my cast. And the next thing you knew, the purple in his face just disappeared. And then right then the paramedics came in. They grabbed him out of the shower like a rag doll, dropped him on the living room floor, and then pumped his chest with their hands. And that was it, he said. But he got a hell of a good song out of it. It's about entertainment after all. Well, two different versions of what happened. Who knows? Kickstart My Heart, Motley Crue, off the album Dr. Feelgood, 1989. All right. We are going to move on to Guns N' Roses' Reckless Life song, and that one is in there because Slash is, I'm in another screen, so I want to keep moving back and making sure you guys are still there, and you are. All right, good. Let's see. Oh wait, Yeah, it says Guns N' Roses. Oh, that's why. Wait a minute. I'm going to move on. Let me bring this up because I forgot. This is the only one I couldn't find on Amazon was the Billy Bob Thornton one because I had to do that one off of YouTube because Billy Bob Thornton was in a band called the Box Masters. And the song that they redid is I'll Give You a Ring. And that was not on YouTube. So let me look for it real quick. Where did I have it? Thought it was, all right. Billy Bob, where are you? And the interview with him is pretty cool that when he's sitting there, but I just couldn't understand. He's sitting, and I thought it was in the Rainbow, at the Rainbow with Lemmy, and they're talking about, you know, their lives together and how much they got paid for this and that. And Lemmy actually lights Billy Bob's cigarette twice, and then Billy Bob lights it for the third time, and I'm asking Bam Bam, what the heck is going on with his cigarette? It just keeps going out on him. Dang it. It's not, I hate when this happens. I'll give you a ring. Let's try it that way. I'll give you a ring. And it's supposed to be, oh, I guess, Paul McCartney has done it too. Here it is. I'm just going to start playing it now that I turn that up. It's playing, just nothing's starting yet. It's doing a countdown. There it goes.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Delbeat. The Box Masters are now going to play their new hit single, I'll Give You a Ring When You Give Me Back My Balls. Oh.
When You Give Me Back My Balls? What?
My britches got all tight the first time that we met.
Oh my God.
Not only were you beautiful, your mind seemed to be set on making me real happy and letting me be free to be the man I've always been, just letting me be me. The first year went all right, even though we had our trials.
It's funny because he's smoking a cigarette in this video too. Although it's staying late though. Staying lit though. Oh my gosh. So, the Box Masters is an American rock band founded in Bellflower, California in 2007 by Billy Bob Thornton. They said that it's like covering hillbilly, they're redoing songs in a hillbilly style music. He had an idea of making Americanized version of British invasion pop songs. From mid-2008 to late 2008, the group embarked on a tour across the United States and then another tour with Willie Nelson in 2009 and 2010. The Box Masters ceased touring for 5 years which they used to write multiple albums and emerge with a more natural sound as opposed to their early hillbilly leanings. I'll give you a ring, the Boxmasters, Billy Bob Thornton. I'll give you a ring when you give me my balls back. Oh my gosh, that's too funny. All right, now we have Reckless Life by Guns N' Roses. So Axl Rose and Izzy Stradlin wrote this song before forming Guns N' Roses during their days as Hollywood Rose. Despite financial struggles, they lived a reckless life, spending money on cigarettes, women, and drinks. The song celebrates the thrills and risk of living on the edge. It serves as a declaration of individuality, freedom, and refusal to conform to society's norms. Here it is, Reckless Life, Guns N' Roses, with Slash. And he was in the documentary being interviewed about Lemmy a couple different times. So here it is, Reckless Life. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Radio Carlos. Thank you, Mike. I should say, me, Michael. I can't really understand what he's saying. I don't know these songs. I don't know the words. It's Guns N' Roses, Reckless Life, Slash. Oh, now it's going to come up again. There we go. I've always liked Slash, but I liked him, and I was trying to think of, gosh, dang it. What's the name of that? Velvet Revolver. Oh, I loved Velvet Revolver. Oh, hi, BP. Did you get cut off? Oh, I'm glad you're back. Yeah, Velvet Revolver. I loved them. So I like Slash in that one. All right. So the next song that I have is I'm the Man, is Anthrax, Scott Ian. He was interviewed about in the documentary about Lemmy. We're going to talk about I'm the Man. This comedy novelty tune is among the first rap metal songs. It's originally going to be recorded by the Beastie Boys, but the proposal collaboration did not work out. Anthrax drummer Charlie said, "What happened was we had this track and we were good friends with people at Def Jam. Someone got word to them, the Beastie Boys, about possibly doing this collaboration. And then there it was. I remember I was with Metallica when they played in the Felt Forum in like 1986, and Michael D and Ad Rock were there. I remember him asking, so what's up with this track? And I said, well, the track is done. I just kind of, the scheduling thing, and we just never got together as far as things go, because they were effing boom, he said, blowing it up. So that was it. The schedules just never worked out. So we ended up doing the song by ourselves. All right. Whew, that was a lot. Here it is. Anthrax, I'm the Man. Oh, that first shock sounded like the Clash. Oh, no! Okay, that's who that guy was. Who is it? All right. You have to. They talk to so many people, it's hard to keep track. That's why I want to watch it again, the beginning of it. But in the interview, he's talking about how they're skaters and how Lemmy would come in these really short pants, and every time he would bend over, his butt would be out. And so I'm trying to picture him in like just short shorts. And then they show him in the shorts, and they are the shortest Daisy Dukes you have ever seen. That should have been on a man that big. They shouldn't have been on him. They were small. They said that's how he was. He would just, you know, he's like, those aren't shorts. You're not wearing shorts. These are shorts. I'm cool. He's like, I'm cool. I'm not hot. So he didn't care. So I'm Scott Ian. That was the guy they were talking to. the man, Anthrax. That was funny. Yeah, you have to watch it just to see him in those shorts, because they're just so, they don't even look like if they were real pants, like they would fit him. They're so short. They just are short shorts. All right. The next song we have is Metallica, and it's Master of Puppets. Lars Ulrich was in the interview. Now, wait a minute. Now, Bam Bam, because I'm not, like I said, there were so many different people, but weren't they in the same band? Weren't Lars and Lemmy in the same band at one time? I'm thinking they were. I'm thinking somebody else. Or if somebody else knows, they can put it in there. Anyway, Master of Puppet. The Master of Puppet is a reference to drugs. Throughout the song, the master controls you and your life. This is evidence in the lyrics like, chop your breakfast on a mirror. The master of puppets is pulling your strings, twisting your mind, smashing your dreams. Yes, those words are tough. Drugs are the master while the drug user is the puppet. Okay, so let's listen to it. Here it is, Master of Puppets. No, Lars is a Metallica. I'm thinking something different. Thank you. Maybe that's what it was. Yeah, because in another scene, he's on stage and the drummer of the Stray Cats is up there and they're playing. And there was all, I don't believe it was his band. I believe it was a different artist up there. But the Stray Cats drummer was up there jamming with them. Thank you, Radio Prayerless. Okay, so this is one of the most famous and enduring songs of 1986, but it wasn't released as a single except in France. Metal was still seen as a niche, and few radio stations would touch it. Putting it out as a single would have been pointless because it wouldn't have gotten airplay, and Metallica's fans were far more likely to buy a whole album. At the time, this song was running 8 minutes and 36 seconds. I think this one... Yeah, this one is about 8 minutes long. It went and I fit on the side of a 45, it says. So, Master of Puppets, Lars Ulrich with Metallica. All right, we're gonna move on. This next guy, when I see his name, I keep thinking Stevie Ray Vaughan, but it's Stevie Vai. Is it Stevie Vai? V-A-I? All right, the song is For the Love of God. Known for its epic guitar solo, Steve Vai. Thanks, Steve Vai recorded For the Love of God on the fourth day. Isn't that weird? My eyes just keep seeing that other guy's name, dang it. On the fourth day of the 10th day fast. Dang, I could not fast for 10 days. I just couldn't. Apparently, while pursuing some altered state of consciousness, the album's version runs 6 minutes and 2 seconds. In 2005, he recorded a live version with Holland Metropole Orchestra, conducted by Chris Opperman. Overall, this version is a remnant of Deep Purple's orchestra called April. But here it is. Let's give it a listen. For the Love of God, Steve Vai. Ay, ay, ay. Thanks, Mike. Said he played guitar for Public Image, Alice Cooper, Ozzy Osbourne, a whole different bunch of different people. Yeah, and this is another long song, and it says at the end, David Cloverdale of Whitesnake provides a spoken word at the end of the song. He speaks the phrase, walking the fine line between pagan and Christian. Guy Reed recorded the song on an early prototype of an Isvan Universe 7-string guitar, which he eventually gave to Prince in 1996. So now I want to hear towards the end of the song. Let's see if we can get it, if we can find it. Maybe I went too far. I didn't hear it. Now, I wonder, is most of his stuff instrumental? All right, well, I don't think I'm going to find it. So we're going to move on to the next song that I have. Why is that one not on here? We're going to move on to this one that's on my recording, and it's Dandy, TJ's favorite song. Every time I hear this song now, it reminds me of TJ, the Rocking Vickers. The song was in the movie. Lemmy was their guitarist of the Rocking Vickers, and it's funny to see him in the Rocking Vickers to what he transformed into over the decades. It's interesting, completely different. So about this song, the Rocking Vickers also released Dandy on the A side of the 1966 single. Their main claim to fame was that Lemmy was the band's member before his stunt in Hawkwind and formation of Motorhead. British singer Clinton Ford also released a version of this song as a single in the same year. But we're going to listen to the Rockin' Vickers, Dandy, Dandy.
Chasing all the girls. distractions to meet your own demands. I turn it up as well. They long for dandy, dandy, knocking on the back door, climbing through the window. Hubby has gone away, and while the cat's away, the mice are gonna play. You long down, dandy. Dandy, you know you're moving much too fast. And Dandy, you know you can't.
Yes, Steve Vai is a major instrumental guitarist. Thank you, Bam Bam. That is Dandy, the Rocking Vickers. One of the first bands Lemmy was in. It's like I said, you have to just see them today. Oh, and here's the next one. Silver Machine, Hawkwind. And I keep wanting to say Hawkthorn too with them. Hawkwind. This is the group that I think that I would like a little bit more than Motorhead that he was in. I like the I don't know, the kind of style of the song, at least this one, Silver Machine. Let's see, about this song, that's the bass player, Ian Lemmy Kilmister, singing lead track of the song. Lemmy, who later formed Motorhead, wasn't the group's main singer. That was Bob Colvert, who joined the group from Roadhawks album. Calvert's attempts to record the vocals weren't up to snuff, so Lemmy got the call. Lemmy had a high voice, but it was just very much more powerful, they said. It had a gruffness with it. So we decided to use his vocals, says the manager, Doug Smith. Calvert, who was hospitalized at the time for manic depression, did not find out that his vocal had been replaced until later. When he did, he was not pleased because he was the one who composed the lyrics to the song. Anyway, here it is with Lemmy singing Silver Machine, Hawkwind. Yes, and Bam, I was saying this was like space rock. It's coming to get you. So in May of 1975, during the North American tour, Lemmy was arrested at the Canadian border in Windsor, Ontario, on drug possession charges. The border police mistook an antihistamine as him carrying for cocaine, and he was kept overnight in jail before being released without charge. The band and management were concerned that his arrest might stop the band from crossing back into the United States. Even though he had been released without charge, they were also tired of what they saw of his erratic behavior, so they decided to fire him. And I mean, they said that the band was tired, but I think it was probably the management. Because if you watch the documentary, I can't remember if they were going to practice or if it was at a concert, and the band people, the girls were on the stage, but one of the band members, they were interviewing him and they were like, well, where's Lemmy? And you can see how they were like so upset that remembering the back to the time when they found out that their friend was fired. They weren't happy about it. So I think this Wikipedia, what they have in here might not be true. So don't believe everything. Don't believe everything you read. We're going to move on to the next song, and it is Big River, Johnny Cash. And let's see, Johnny Cash, and the song was in the movie. So Johnny Cash was on tour, a touring break, when he picked up an article titled, Johnny Cash Has the Big River Blues in His Voice. Soon after, he wrote a lovelorn country tune about a man who is so smitten by a woman and her irresistible southern drawl that he pursues her down the Mississippi River and misses her at every turn. Cash is backed by Luther Perkins on guitar, who delivers an electrifying solo, and Marshall Grant on bass. The single peaked at number 4 on the country charts. So here is Big River, Johnny Cash, that was in the movie. I don't know that I've ever met anybody that doesn't love Johnny Cash. I love Johnny Cash.
I'm gonna flood you, Big River, and I'm gonna sit right here until I die. I met her accidentally in St. Paul, Minnesota, and it tore me up every time I heard her drawl, southern drawl. Then I heard my dream went back downstream, cavorting in Davenport, and I followed you, Big River. When you call, oh, you then you took me to St. Louis later on down the river. A freighter said she's been here, but she's gone, boy, she's gone. I found her trail in Memphis, but she just walked up the bluff. She raised a few eyebrows and then she went on down alone. Now won't you bat it down by Baton Rouge, River Queen.
So I guess there is a verse that was omitted from the original recording and was later performed during Johnny Cash's live performances, and a demo recording from Sun Sessions featuring the omitted version also exists and has been released on numerous Sun compilations. That is Big River, Johnny Cash. Off Johnny Cash Sings the Song That Made Him Famous, 1958. All right, so our last song for our list today. Oh, no. Did I play? I didn't play Joan Jett. I need to play. There's two songs. Let me play Joan Jett because she was in there. That's right. I forgot. She's over here too, with that other song for whatever reason. She was in it, and I think maybe it was just a combination that she's just so young and that she didn't have as much makeup on as she does like on in videos and stuff. But it was just kind of because she just looks so young. What would they say? Well, I think it may be 2010, or was it earlier? Thought 2010 it was made, the documentary. So Joan Jett in the Blackhearts, I Love Rock and Roll. She was in the movie documentary being spoken to about Lemmy. So about the song I Love Rock and Roll was originally recorded by a British group called The Arrows in 1975, and it was written by their lead singer Alan Merle and guitarist Jake Hooker. Merle explained how the song came about. That was a knee-jerk response to the Rolling Stones' It's Only Rock and Roll. I remember watching it on Top of the Pops. I'd met Mick Jagger socially a few times, and I knew he was hanging around with Prince Rupert Weinstein, and the people like that jet setters. I almost felt like It's Only Rock and Roll was an apology to those jet-setting princes and princesses that he hung around with. So that's my interpretation as a young man. Okay, I love rock and roll. And then we do, and where do we go with that? So that's where the song was written about. Joan Jett was touring in England as a member of an all teenage girl group called The Runaways when she discovered this song. She wanted to record it with The Runaways, but the other members didn't like the song and made the mistake of passing it up. So in 1979, Jett recorded it with Paul Hook and Stephen Jones of the Sex Pistols and released it on the B-side. Finally, in 1981, Jett recorded the song with her band, the Blackhearts, resulting in a monster hit. So here it is, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, I Love Rock and Roll. Really? And Roll by Joan Jett and the Blackhearts off the album I Love Rock and Roll. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the scene when he was shopping at a record store. It wasn't Tower Records. I thought it started with an A. It looked like a really big record store. And the story was that he was looking for a Beatles box set. And I guess it was on order or something. And they didn't have it. And that's what I was talking about earlier, that when he walks in there, some of the people didn't have any idea who he was. He's standing right next to him looking through albums and CDs, and they have no idea who he is. And then he turns around and he walks up to the counter, and you see when he's walking up to the counter, the young kid behind the counter, you see his face expression just change. Like, he knew who was walking up to the counter to ask him a question, right? He was like really cool. He didn't be like, oh, I know who you are. He was just, all right, let me answer his question. And he was told him that they didn't have any more. And then he went back to go looking at CDs, and he's sitting there and he's strolling through Pat Benatar. So he likes all different kinds of music. You know, he wasn't just listening to music like he made. He listened to all different types of music. And while he was looking at the Pat Benatar CDs, that young man comes back up to him and has I think it was a white box set of Beatles. He has it and he hands it to him. And the lady who also worked there, had her own, she had ordered her own, had it set aside. And that kid must have went back and said, yeah, Lemmy's looking for one of these. And so she gave him her box set that was set aside just for her. And so then she got to meet him, you know, when he went to pay for it and stuff. It was really cool. He was very, very down to earth, humble. He seemed very humble. He didn't seem pretentious at all for a rock star. All right, here is I Love Rock and Roll. I don't think I've ever, maybe I have heard this one before. I don't remember the name though. Jeez. Oh my God.
I hear those ice cream bells and I start to drool. Keep a couple quarts in my locker at school. Yeah, but chocolate's getting old. Vanilla just leaves me cold. There's just one flavor good enough for me. Yeah, me. Don't give me no crummy tablespoon. I know what I need. Baby, I love rock and roll.
Oh my gosh.
So won't you go and buy half a gallon, baby? I love rock and roll. So have another triple scoop.
My mom
me.
Loves rock and roll ice cream. That's so funny.
All the soda jerkers know my name. When their supply is gone, then I'll be moving on. But I'll be back on Monday afternoon. You'll see another truckload's coming in for me. All for me, I'm singing. I love rock and roll.
About Weird Al, I forgot the joke of the day.
When I'm all alone, I just grab myself a comb.
Not as Weird Al.
I get fat, lose my teeth, that's fine with me.
Oh,
just lock me in the freezer and throw away the key. Singing, I love Rocky Road. So won't you go and buy half a gallon, baby? I love Rocky Road. So have another.
I still need to watch that movie, the Weird Al one, because I was seeing the commercials for the longest time on the Roku TV, and it looked pretty funny. So that was Weird Al. I Love Rock and Roll. Oh, I don't know what's now coming on. Let's turn that off. I forgot the joke of the day, and then I'll play the last Hawkwind/Motorhead song, Motorhead. So the joke of the day. A slice of apple pie is $2.50 in Jamaica and $3 in the Bahamas. There are real pirates in the Caribbean. Get it? Pirates in the Caribbean. Pirates. Oh, I know. Silly. Pirates. All right. It's worth the watch. Oh, that's funny. Okay, then I will watch it. Yeah, because I kept seeing it, and the one guy comes in, and he's with Madonna. He's like, I think Madonna has a bad influence on you or something. And I was just like, I need to watch that movie. Hi, Sanford. Good to see you. All right. So the last song on the list today is Motorhead. When it came up Hawkwind/Motorhead. So it was in the movie. Motorhead this, let's see, was the last song that Lemmy wrote for Hawkwind before being fired from the band in 1975. It was originally released on the B-side single Kings of Speed on the United Arista Records in March of 1975. The song was written in the Hyatt Hotel, aka the Riot House, in West Hollywood, California. Let's listen and then we'll learn a little bit more about it. So here's Motorhead by Hawkwind Motorhead. This one says it's by Motorhead, so here, it'll come on. Okay, I think I read that. Let's see. So the song that he got the Motorhead name from actually exists from the band when he did Speed, and the nickname from someone who does Speed is Motorhead. Yeah, and then it says, let me explain how this song was created. He said, I was on tour with Hawkwind in 1975. We were staying at the Riot House, and Roy Wood was also in town. I got the urge to write the song in the middle of the night. I ran downstairs to the Wizard Room, got Roy Ovation's acoustic guitar, then hurried back to mine. I went on to the balcony and howled away for 4 hours. Cars were stopping and drivers were listening and then drove off. And they were like yelling away to top of my voice. And that is what by Lemmy it says. Motorhead. It's off the album Warrior on the Edge of Time. Wow, that's the Hawkwind. It's on Warrior on the Edge of Time. I'm sure it's on a Motorhead one too. This one's the best in Motorhead, so on both Hawkwind and Motorhead. All right. Yeah, like I said, I am not into that type of music. Like I wouldn't just turn on the radio and listen to Motorhead. But it was so interesting that, again, I'm going to watch the first half of it again. It's free on YouTube if you want to catch up to us. I think it was 57 minutes where we stopped. So you can catch up to us. And then next Thursday, we'll watch the second half. And I'm sure I'll have an amazing set list that Bam Bam's getting ready for me. And I appreciate you so much for doing that. It means the world to me so that I can get information on it. And yeah, we'll go from there. And then we're going to do the following week after that. I think it's just called The Rainbow. It's also free on YouTube. I'll have to get the exact name, but it's the Rainbow, the club. It's about the artist that kind of went through there, continue to go through there. So yeah, guys, thank you so much for coming back 3 times. I don't think I was doing anything. It's like right now it says pour. So I don't know. It said pour then, but it just ended. It just said your show has ended. I'm like, okay. So at least the second one, I'll have to find it and just delete that second one. Take Aaron to work. Yay. I don't have to. I don't have to today. I'm so happy. I don't have to go anywhere. Man, I'm so happy about that. So thank you guys again for coming back. I really appreciate that. We'll be back here on Monday. So until then, let's leave you like I always leave you, if it's going to work. jerk. Be the reason someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. And if nobody's told you lately, you are loved and appreciated. And I really do mean that from the bottom of my heart. I really do love and appreciate you guys so very, very much. You mean the world to me. So have a great day. Watch yourself and watch the people that you love, because it's crazy out there. It's a crazy world. And if you're in Colorado and you don't have to go anywhere, I'm surprised the kids weren't out like snow sledding behind us. If I had a sled, I'd go out there and sled today for sure, because it would be fun. I haven't done that in years. And it's not that big of a hill to climb back up. All right, guys, I will see you later. Bye. And my music's not playing. Oh, man. Oh, there it goes. Very loud. Bye, guys.